In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Condori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a consultation with one of their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Every day this week, right at 4 o'clock, ahead of the Blitz, we're giving away tickets to see Jason Aldean. August 30th, Jiffy Lube Live. It is the Jason Aldean Highway Desperado Tour 2024. Congrats to caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to win a pair of tickets to the show. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Tickets are on sale now. Again, the show is at Jiffy Lube Live. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We will be talking about the Commanders and the old RFK site with our buddy Eric Flack of Channel 9 as well, whether or not there's going to be a stadium on that site in the future. But we begin on the diamond. Dave Jagler, Nationals Broadcast Network with Charlie Slows. You hear him on the call each and every radio broadcast. Jags, I was at the ballpark last night and enjoyed what was a pretty well-pitched game after the first inning by DJ Hers. I thought that was a nice sign for him that he didn't have it. He was all over the place, clearly struggled and scuffled early, and then he got it together like a veteran starter would. That seemed progressive.
Yeah, I mean, Grant, it's been fun to watch him progress over the course of his season from a guy who, in AAA this year, a couple times didn't make it out of the first inning because he couldn't get in the strike zone, to now pretty consistently attacking the strike zone. And maybe with some of the recent struggles of other starters, you might say over the last six starts, he's been the most consistent National starter, because we're looking at six starts in a row, two earned runs or fewer. And, you know, unfortunately for the last two, probably deserved two wins, but has taken two losses. The game he pitched in Baltimore, gave up a first inning homer. That was it. First inning run last night. You figure against the Rockies, the team with the highest ERA in baseball, you give up one early and, you know, two runs total, you might get the win. But unfortunately, the offense did scuffle. But DJ has been a nice bright spot here over the course of his first big league campaign.
Jags, Luis Garcia pretty quietly putting up an awesome season. You know, I will take a little bit of credit, although not for his performance. That's mostly him. But I was kind of beating the drum where I'm going, he's still only in his early 20s. The bat to ball is good. I feel like we can work the rest of it out. There's still some room to grow, certainly, but I feel like he's played a pretty good defense, and he's been hitting. He's just a hair under 300, a couple hits last night when there wasn't much offense going. I think we're kind of underrating the year he's having.
Yeah, I think you make a very valid point. I mean, to me, the thing that has changed from Luis, you know, first couple years to this year, is there's actually a plan at the plate. Mm-hmm. That kind of just not going up there and just, you know, hacking away and flailing at anything that comes up. He has a plan. Now, he's still one of the more aggressive hitters in baseball, but we saw last night, good at bat, takes a walk against the lefty after doubling against the lefty. So he at least is taking that plan and implementing that plan. So it's been very good. And the improvement defensively has been tremendous. I mean, he's never going to win a Gold Glove due to his range, but does he make the routine play? Absolutely. Does he turn the double play? Absolutely. And he's cut down on kind of those mental mistakes, yep. the mistakes of not paying attention that, you know, that really, you know, bothered him, and it bothered Robles when he was here. He has really cut down on those. So the entire game, there's been tremendous improvement. So he's definitely put himself from where we were at the start of the year, where it seemed like Trey Lipscomb was on the verge of maybe knocking him out of an everyday position, to figure, okay, well, you know, going into 2025, this is your second baseman.
He's been legitimately good I mean, he's hitting .294 with an OPS around 800, and he's got 14 homers and almost 20 steals. It's been a not even like, oh, you saved your career. It's been actually a good season. He's 83rd percentile in strikeout percentage, 72nd percentile in swing and miss, 78th percentile at squaring balls up. Like, he's doing a lot well, and he's way better defensively, to your point, Jags. How about their defense in the infield otherwise right now? I feel like the Tana addition as well as Chaparro, both those guys can hit, and they both did it AAA. Yep. Like, that is the carrying tool, is that they could put the bat on the ball. But I do feel like, and it's a small sample, but this is kind of the book that I got in the minor leagues on these guys, was they're not going to be very good defenders. And I do feel like at the corners, they've certainly gotten worse here recently.
Yeah, I think it's a team-wide thing, too. I mean, focusing on Tana specifically, he hasn't played a ton of third base. He's more been a shortstop, second baseman. He has really struggled defensively. And, you know, Chaparro, Yepes, neither is going to be a gold glove first baseman. They actually have Gallo in there tonight at first base. I think just kind of team-wide, the last, you know, starting on the last homestand, they had that really rough extra inning game against the Giants. You know, cost themselves a game against the Phillies. You know, for this team to win games, they have to play clean baseball, and that's defensively, that's not making outs on bases. And really, the first 2 days of this homestand, they've been out teaching. Yesterday, they were working on relays from the outfield. They were taking ground balls, situational PFPs, bunt plays. You know, they loused up a bunt play in the ninth inning of a walk off loss to the Phillies. So just with some new players. You know, obviously you do all this in spring training, but a lot of these guys weren't in the organization or with the big league crew in spring training. So just getting used to playing together and where you're going to be on this bunt play or on this relay play. So there has been an emphasis on teaching here in the first two games of the homestand to clean up what you've talked about, some defensive miscues that in these close games will cost you the game.
And speaking of that, Jack, it's not a criticism by any stretch, as James Wood has done nothing but impress, but you would say, I think objectively, maybe not as comfortable in left field at, when he first got called up July 1st, as he will be probably now and will be, you know, at the start of spring training next year, just hadn't had as many reps at that spot. How do you feel about him now in left field? Does he look more comfortable to you pitch to pitch?
It's been a little better, honestly. I mean, it was really rough. And obviously, we focus on the bat, and the bat has been tremendous in the at-bats. It was rough his first few weeks. To me, there's been a little bit of improvement. Now, I'm not saying gold glove caliber, but just, you know, I think there was some hesitation initially. We saw a couple of balls drop in that, oh, well, Abrams is going to catch the ball, and then CJ pulls up, and it drops in. He's been more assertive, calling off on the pop flies coming in. And then once in a while, it feels like, you know, the opponent might say, well, he's not really going after it. And all of a sudden, he uncorks a perfect throw right on a base to nab a runner. His arm, to me, has been a little more, probably the best part of him defensively. So I've seen growth, so that tells me there's more there. Like you say, he's just 21. He's new to the position. You know, from day one in the big leagues to now game 42, 43, definitely improvement and still more to go.
Jags, always love catching up. Have a great call tonight at 6:45 right here on The Fan.
Well, next time you come to the game, don't be a stranger. Don't sneak in and sneak out. That's not very nice.
Well, you know what? Last night, the kids were there, man. Oh, we did a whole family affair in the stands. I was chasing them around. I saw less of the game than I wanted to.
Well, what you can do is you can bring multiple plates of food right in front of Jags and have them be disgusted with you for years.
There you go. Perfect.
You thought
Danny
was trying to eat a lot? I mean, you would have thought my kids had never eaten as many things as they were asking for last night.
Well, you got to feed them at home, dude. Come on.
We try.
Be a good parent.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it.
They don't have Dippin' Dots at the Paulson House.
See you, Jax.
Oh, of course. See ya.
See you, bud.
Beltway Blitz continues on the gridiron. At PFF underscore Nick Ackridge, covering the Commanders for Pro Football Focus. Nick, why don't we start with the grades that you guys had on the latest preseason game. I saw something you guys had that matched my eyes, which was you guys really liked KJ Henry's performance. I feel like he's had a good preseason, and particularly in game two, I thought he was awesome. What made him an 89 grade in that game?
Yeah, no, he looked great. I mean, usually when you kind of see a grade like that from a pass rusher, it means he was racking up a lot of pressures, and that's exactly what the case was. He had five total pressures on just 21 pass rushing snaps. So whenever you see that, that's usually going to result in a high grade. And yeah, he looked really good on a little last week.
Nick, assuming health, which is, you know, it's always hard. It's the NFL. But assuming health, What kind of numbers, realistically, should we anticipate here for Jaden Daniels? There's some buzz now. Like he, Caleb Williams, a couple others, frontrunners for Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, it's all going to depend, of course, on health and situation. But if it goes well, what are we really talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, health is the biggest thing for any quarterback. But, you know, I think you can expect something in the range of, you know, maybe 4,000, 4,500 combined yards with both passing and rushing. You know, they showed pretty early on in this preseason that they're not afraid to use his legs with the design touchdown run, another design run, you know, this past game. And so I think that's kind of what you're looking for a successful season for him. And honestly, if he stays healthy all 17 games, that's a success in my book.
Nick, what have you thought of Luke McCaffrey so far in the limited preseason action?
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he was someone that I was a little bit down on coming into the draft, but, you know, this last preseason game, he looked really great. I mean, we all kind of saw the catch where he kind of went up and high-pointed it, but, you know, there were a lot of other reps where Miami was playing man coverage against him, and he was just kind of burning everyone. He just kind of looked like he was the most explosive guy out there every time that he ran a route, and it was something that was, you know, really good to see.
Daniels has obviously looked very good. I mean, what if he were to play in the third preseason game, which he probably won't, but in a hypothetical where you got to design like what you wanted to see next, what would you want to see them call or do to just get a better feel for what he's going to look like against Tampa?
Yeah, I know it's a scary proposition, but I'd want him to hold the ball a little bit more. I know we talked a lot about, you know, pre-draft, you know, him holding the ball too long, but you know, they've kind of completely reversed that this preseason where he's got a time to throw under 2 seconds, which is pretty much unheard of. So for me, what I would like to do is, you know, kind of see him really go through progressions and, you know, attack the middle of the field more and, you know, maybe not call so many screens and quick game stuff. But, you know, I completely understand wanting to protect him in the preseason, especially with an offensive line that might not be the greatest. But, yeah, if it was up for me, I'd like to see him kind of really, you know, fully be involved with the offense.
Nick, I was a big fan of the Dorrance Armstrong signing. That was a guy that I kind of had circled. It made a lot of sense. Dan Quinn, obviously, and Joe Witt moving from Dallas. That guy's a part-time pass rusher, you know, closing in on double-digit sacks. Looked like he was in line for a larger role. I get that. I liked it. Outside of that, it's a lot of Jamin Davis second position. It's a lot of Dante Fowler, Cleveland Farrell, KJ Henry at times. Is this pass rush going to be adequate or even good enough?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I kind of, you know, looking at this pass rusher compared to last year, it's kind of the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Last year, you know, you kind of had the high-end edge rushers with Montez Sweat and Chase Young. You didn't have a lot of depth. This year, they've got a lot of depth, but not really much of that high-end edge rusher. So I think you'll see a lot more rotation. I don't think you'll see anyone really kind of have a great season individually. But, you know, the group of them, you know, if you keep them fresh and rotate them in, I think you could be looking at some guys that could, you know, really kind of step up and make some big plays. And we already talked about KJ Henry, and I think they just have a lot of depth there, and I think that's always a good thing.
Nick, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
See you, bro.
Got it. So you're in lockstep with me on Jaden Daniels and the final preseason game.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. I don't think
he's playing. I would say there's no chance, right? Like, full stop, no way. I don't even think, oh, maybe he'll play a series. I'll be shocked if he plays.
I'd be stunned. Yeah, I mean, it's even less of a chance than Mary Swanson, a.k.a. Samsonite, saying more like one in a million. It's less than that.
All right, let's keep with the Commanders and talk stadium stuff. Our guy Eric Flack is an award-winning journalist who covers all things news in D.C., and he's kind of on the Brian Fantana Panda Watch with this stadium thing. So, Eric, give us the update. I know you've been working this today as well. You had some paperwork you posted. What do you got?
Yeah, the city signed a new contract with a LA-based firm that specializes in stadiums and venues for more than $500,000 they're paying this company. And it's really to take the next step in figuring out how to lure the Commanders to Washington, D.C., and specifically that RFK site. This firm specialize. They've done like 7 NFL stadiums. They're an LA-based firm. Their whole deal is about figuring out how to build venues and stadiums. But the big key here is they're not just going to maybe figure out how we would do it at RFK, but also they're going to help give the city some ideas about how they would finance a new stadium, because that continues to be a real question that the city has not answered. It's the second RFK-related study the city is paid for in a year. Mm-hmm. But this one is much more wholly focused on RFK, how they would build a stadium at the RFK site. And again, most importantly, how they would pay for it.
Yeah, you mentioned, Eric, where I was going to go. I feel like I care about this. Nobody else does, but damn it, I'm asking anyway. They already paid former disgraced council member who now still has a consulting firm. Jack, I'm sure there were no other consulting firms to possibly consult with, but whatever. They paid his firm over $400,000, I think, for it sounded like the exact same byline and description. But what's the distinction there between that payment and this one for a city that apparently has no money, but they got about $1 million to spend on how they can spend money?
They really went after this firm in L.A. because they specialize it. That first study, a source within D.C. government told me, was much more broad strokes about a rosy economic picture, about, yay, pro sports are good for D.C., and they make us a lot of money. And, oh, by the way, if we were going to pay for a football stadium at the RFK site, here's how we would do it. Now, the city has refused to release that part of the study that says, how do you pay for a stadium? They have now spent another $500,000 to this L.A. firm to really do a specific deep dive on RFK. And I think that's what my source kind of differentiated this. He said this is showing the city is stepping up its efforts to figure out exactly how they would do the RFK thing. The city took the unprecedented step of doing, not unprecedented, but a rarely taken step of doing kind of a no-bid contract because they didn't want to take bids on this. They wanted this company. They were going to pay their price, and they didn't want to waste any time doing it. So to justify that, they said they were in a time crunch because this group could do the study and the research immediately. And oh, by the way, the clock is ticking because the federal government in Congress is about to approve D.C. getting the land back long term. Now, we know that that's not exactly a done deal. And, you know, it is still unclear whether D.C. is going to get the RFK land back long term. But it was clear that they were going to use every means they could to justify paying this amount of money to this group, because they think they are best suited to figure out how you bring the Commanders back to RFK, how you build a stadium in RFK, and again, how you pay for a new RFK.
Eric Flack, WSA TV9. What's your opinion on the National Harbor area and Oxon Hill? Danny and I talk about why that never comes up. Hogan almost got a deal there, and Bruce and Dan kind of left him at the altar. And I was texting around and asking some people with some knowledge of the situation, and they say, well, there's all kinds of environmental things with, you know, the land over there. There's all kinds of different hurdles. And oh, by the way, PG County wouldn't give you the money because they don't want you there. They want you near the Green Line. I mean, are those deal breakers or inconveniences? Like, is that actually an option in any way?
I don't think so. I mean, I think what you're hearing is correct, that there were environmental concerns, and it was a nice idea once upon a time, but I think the team and Kirtan Mehta, who they hired to do the public policy side of this, kind of behind the scenes guy, but a very powerful guy who's driving this stadium stuff, has moved on past that. I think there are three sites. There is the FedEx site, there is RFK, and there is the Loudoun County site. And I think to the extent that the Commanders are narrowing this down, they've narrowed it down to those three sites. And Josh Harris has said, we have three sites. And certainly, if it goes in Maryland, it is going to be near that Blue Line corridor, near the current home, FedEx Field, that everybody loves so much.
All right, Eric, how bite? Loudoun County, Virginia. That means that's in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I know, right? No. It's a serious program.
A stadium in Virginia.
Hold on, I'll get through it. Aren't they a little bit on probation right now? After what's going on? Are they like? Is that just one of those things where it's like, I'll totally turn the car around, you guys. I'll turn it around. I already paid for the Disney vacation we're going.
Let's make sure we get Louise Lucas involved.
Yeah, like, are there any memes to be posted? Like, that just doesn't feel like they're a real contender, right?
My sense is that the team has the same questions you have about Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Harris, I know, is too smart to get tar and feathered like Ted Leonsis did. And he's not going to do it. And he's not going to, you know, go down that road if he doesn't think he has the support of the legislature. Now, there are rumblings that certain lawmakers are preparing to, you know, talk about how the state would help fund the stadium. And would this be any different? I don't know. I know one thing, that Josh Harris and his team is not going to make the same mistakes Ted Leonsis did and not take a temperature of the room before trying to go to Richmond and get a whole bunch of money. I think they're going to have their ducks in a row politically in a way that Ted Leonsis did not, and ultimately undid that move to Northern Virginia.
I can see the Luis Lucas Josh Dome memes now with the, you know, the grave and the dirt. I
Who
see
did
it.
This? LOL.
They also don't own the land, and they also don't know. I mean, they don't have land in Virginia. They have land in D.C. They have land in Maryland. They don't have land in Loudoun County. There's land that they would do it on, but that would still need to be worked out.
They have land they're trying to get back in D.C., I guess, technically.
The land they're trying to get, but they got, right. They wouldn't have to pay. They know they're not going to have to pay for the land here. They know they're not going to have to pay for the land in Maryland. Could Loudoun County figure out a way to pay for the land themselves and maybe just kind of slide it to the Commanders? Possibly.
Good as always. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas.
See you, buddy.
That's Eric Flack on social. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Flack TV. One of the Commanders considered to be potentially on the chopping block on cutdown day had a really good day today to help himself out. We'll explain. Plus, is your excitement for Jaden Daniels growing? He's continuing to hit all the benchmarks. This is The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's been a lot made of the Commanders kicking situation. Riley Patterson is the kicker left on the roster at the moment, and the expectation is that Riley Patterson's not going to make the team because Washington is going to cut him and then go sign someone outside the building to be their kicker. But is there a chance maybe that he gets back on track? He's missed 3 kicks in 2 games, including 3 of his first 4 kicks this preseason. Patterson in practice today, Danny, 6 of 7 with a make from 58 yards, did miss from 54. That was his only miss. But you string a bunch of days like that together in a row. I know it's practice, but that's really all you get other than the game.
Yeah, you're still kicking for your job.
And then you have a good preseason game where you're 3 for 3 from, you know, 40, 45, and 50. And maybe he does hang on, because sometimes, you know, the bird in the hand is a little less scary than the one that might be in the bush that you think could be better. I'm still of the belief that I would bet on the field. You go get the kicker who's kicked in the league longer, who gets cut by somebody else who you've got a lot of film of, and you know they're going to be fine, that the moment's not going to be too big. But Patterson has been right around an 88% kicker in the NFL in his career.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been solid. It's just been a bad camp by all accounts, and an even worse preseason. So when you don't have any promises made, there's nothing guaranteed to you, when there's no way to know you're going to be on the roster and you're in a competition, which ended shortly after it began, you can't kick that badly and make the team.
Yeah, there's just no way. I mean, when the lights have been on, when it's, okay, the whole world's watching, not really, it's a preseason game, but you know what I mean? When the sporting world is watching, when the eval is taking place, I know there's more behind the scenes, and I'm aware that, you know, things like this where there's some pressure, but in game, You just can't be as bad as he's been. You can't be. And everybody knows it. There's that collective when it's fourth and four and you're like, are we in go for it range? We're not really. Oh God, here comes the kicker. Like, nobody wants that experience.
Has he already struggled enough that he can't be your kicker? Or could he salvage it if you were Dan Quinn?
That's a great question.
So today, six of seven made it from 58. If he has that day for a week straight and a head of cutdown day, as I said, he goes 3 for 3 with 2 kicks of 50-plus in the final preseason game. And Quinn had consoled him and said, hey, man, we know you're good. Like, clearly, would they like him? Whatever.
Yeah, Quinn had, like, gone to him and coached him up and spoken with him and stuff. So, vote of confidence.
Would you take him over, say, Greg Joseph, who the Packers cut in a week because he doesn't win the job against Anders Carlson?
No, so I wouldn't. I mean, to me, it's already over. Like, Danny Ruye, if I'm in charge of all of a sudden, and I shouldn't be, because I'd make decisions like this, but I have no time. I have no time for whatever that was. When you miss that many kicks by that much, that, you know, in a game where we're trying, where everyone else is working so damn hard to try to fight for the, I just have no time. I couldn't look the guy that's changing positions to try to claw his way into the league or stay on a football team and say, you're cut. But you, who's not even close, yeah, I'm going to believe in you. I'm bringing in everybody that's ever put a foot to a ball is in my building right now trying out. We're running an assembly line for hours.
The only pushback I'd have on that is, and I don't feel this way at every position, but I do think cutting kickers generally leads to just cutting more kickers.
Yeah, you're on the carousel.
And it sounds silly to say that. Like, generally,
But Washington fans know. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we've done the carousel. I mean, it gets less hype than quarterback, obviously, but we've done that where it's every 7 weeks there's a new dude, or then this, now it's John Hall until it's not.
Right.
We've gone through the
list. It just seems like the one position where, like, trying a bunch of things just leads to more trying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've always been a proponent of growing with a kicker if you can. Now, if you're the Chiefs, or you're some Super Bowl-esque team that's going to be playing in the playoffs, and you just can't deal with the inconsistency, I get that. But for the most part, over 30-some years, and certainly here recently, most more years than not, most of the time, you can live with the kicker missing a kick here or there, because it's a position, it's like a hitter, it's like a golfer, honestly. There's going to be ruts. You know, you're going to have that stretch where something's wrong with the swing. You're trying to iron out the mechanics, and you're pushing the ball, you're missing a little bit. They cut Dustin Hopkins during a patch where he wasn't at his normal standard. They've regretted it since. They cut Graham Gano at a patch where he wasn't at his normal standard. Could have been around here for another 10 years kicking bombs. Guys that throughout the, you know, I don't know. It's almost like I'm always advocating for the kicker, but every time I've kind of gone, hey, are we sure about this? The grass with kickers is not greener. That's kind of my philosophy. If you've got a guy that you know is pretty good. Now, if someone's terrible, like, respectfully, because I think he's still a local guy probably, when they signed Chris Blewett, really good college career at times at Pitt, had some big moments, I'm sure, collegiately, but they brought him in, and right away it was pretty clear, this is not up to the NFL standard. This is not where you want to be. I'm not saying you just hang on to him and deal with the ramifications, but with guys that have the experience and have proven they can do it, Kai Forbath, Dustin Hopkins, Graham Gano, Sean Sweezum, and so many others, like, you would have caused yourself a lot of consternation and searching for kickers and off seasons and money and attention and just a lot of stress if you would have just rode through the tough times with a kicker. And I wonder if Riley Patterson could be that guy. Like, I don't know this, but if they think he's got a plus leg, if they think he could be a long-term NFL option, most kickers go through a couple of years of inconsistencies before they become, boom, they've locked it in. If you evaluate Patterson as that guy, then why not in this season, at least early on, give him a chance? Everybody else is going to be making mistakes. You're going to live with them at quarterback. You're going to live with them in your secondary with your young corners. Why not give the kicker the chance? Because maybe you could, on the cheap, at 24, find a guy and not have to go spend on a Brandon McManus next offseason.
Yeah, sure. It's not crazy. Now, again, I don't know how to evaluate kickers. Other than,
did you make it or miss it?
Yeah, or, but even if someone misses it, did it look, the operation looked terrible? Like, when you, I can't remember who it was, but I was watching a preseason game the other night, it was on in the background, and at no time did the kick look like it was headed towards the uprights. And you're going, what are you aiming at? You know what I mean? Like, if, because there's outdoor stadiums where wind swirls or stuff happens, where, you know, those kicks, it looks like it's going good, then it kind of knuckles a certain way and breaks to one side or the other, or you're playing a little bit of a draw and you draw it too much and it hits the upright or something like that. The ones where all you, dude, you're trying to kick it generally pretty straight and you just kicked it right or kicked it left. I have no patience for that. Does that make any sense? It's like having somebody go out there to pitch and it's like, that was a ball. Yeah, because it was an inch and a half off the plate. Catcher framed it up. Umpire didn't give it to him. Or that was a ball. It hit the mascot. Like, hit the mascot, go sit down, never bother me again. I have no patience for that. And right. That's kind of what I've and that's what Blewett was, and that's what we've seen from Patterson so far. Maybe they see something that I don't. I mean, again, but what do I know?
Yeah, Patterson, I think when you see a guy miss to each side of the uprights, you know, Houston, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was like, check, please, I'm out. This is not going to work. Right. I got to go outside the building. I'm open to the possibility that maybe they really like him and they think he's a worthwhile project. And that is a position where I think your patience can be rewarded.
But your point about, I don't really care about that one extra win this year. I know a lot of fans don't like to think that way.
Yeah, and fans will hear that and they'll go, you're nuts. And you know, Dan Quinn would hear that and he'd pull his car over and you know, scream and punch the steering wheel. But legitimately, the only thing that comes from one less win this year probably is a better draft pick. And the same people that will tell me I'm an idiot are buying Jaden Daniels jerseys, and they wouldn't have been able to get those had they have won one more game last year. You know, you'd have a wide seventh receiver like Malik Nabers or whatever. So, yeah, my point is, I think the goal when you're evaluating that position should be to find your answer, not to find a guy who's going to go 5 for 5 in September. It should be, how do I get my kicker that's going to be here in 7 years? And if you don't think that's some dude you sign off the street who gets cut, who costs a lot of money and or is 34 years old or whatever, then maybe it's worth trying something else. Did you see, by the way, speaking of preseason kickers, did you see Brandon Aubrey of the Cowboys?
No.
He hit a 66-yard field goal the other night. This was on Sunday night. I think I was sitting in the basement watching. Must have been, because there were two Sunday night games. Or was that Saturday night? Okay, I'll take your word for it. Brandon Aubrey, a 66-yard field goal against the Raiders. And that kick would have been good. I won't go as far as to say from 75. That's probably hyperbolic.
Still a little much, but a lot.
Definitely from 72, 73. Like, it was not close. I remember the Justin Tucker 66-yarder, which set the NFL record. So I think it beat Detroit indoors, maybe mm-hmm. in Michigan. I want to say it hit the upright and bounced over.
Or snuck in, yeah.
This kick was outrageous. The Cowboys signed this dude, Aubrey, who's a former pro soccer player last year, came to camp, played at Notre Dame years ago, beat out their pretty good kicker that they already had, and then last year as a rookie was the best kicker in the NFL. 36 of 38 on field goals.
Just as a quick side, can I tell you how annoying I find that? Not for him. His story, that's cool.
Best kicker in the NFL.
Yeah, but that the Cowboys just did that. When other teams try to do that, and I'm old enough to remember the Tony Meola saga, when right. they were like, the Jets were like, yo, this dude, this guy kicks bombs, bro, for the Team USA soccer, whatever. He's going to come kick for us, man.
He takes the grease off his pizza with napkins, yo.
And he couldn't do it at all.
36 of 38 last year. He was incredible.
He's awesome.
And the 66-yarder, it was like a you know, Madden on easy from 45.
Mm-hmm.
It was just centered up between the uprights, probably 15 feet above the crossbar.
Yeah.
It looked like he was kicking from 50. But the length of some of these kickers now, the skill of some of these kickers is astounding, and it really exacerbates what we're dealing with here to an extent. If you've got a thought on how Washington should solve what it has been a dilemma this preseason, to be clear, at kicker, we'd love to hear from you. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor listener lines. But next, Danny, let's get into Jaden Daniels. The excitement continues to grow within the fan base. This is The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. 800-636-1067 is how you join us if you want to hop in. We're discussing right now the Commanders' kicker issue, although it was a great day of practice for Riley Patterson. 6 of 7, made a kick from 58. If he has a big final game in a nice couple of weeks leading up to cutdown day, could he still save his job, or would you go outside the organization? That is the question that we're asking on G&D. Let's go to Zach in Gainesville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan.
Thanks, man.
hey, have you guys heard anything about Braden Narveson, the the kicker is battling Nick Folk in Tennessee.
I don't know a lot about him.
I hadn't heard much.
We looked him up. NC State is where he went, 24 years old.
Yeah, I think he has, like, the longest kick in NC State history, but he's nailed a 59-yarder in the second preseason game. Walk-off 47-yard field goal as well. But, you know, he's an undrafted free agent rookie, so there's no vets available. I think Adam Peters might be waiting. Just ride with a rookie like that, you know. Hope you get, like, half a Justin Tucker or something.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking. I think too much of this regime. To think that they're just sitting on their hands on this one. You know what I mean? I feel like there's something that they're waiting on that they know. They've got their scouts or they've got everybody, and there's a list of 5, 6, 7 guys that are going to get cut that they'll have their pick from. I just can't believe. The reason that gives me that confidence, GP, A, I think they're pretty competent, but B, because they're not doing a constant kicker tryout thing. Patterson hasn't faced any kicker competition since they cut Ahmed. Like, that's unfathomable to me, regardless of how he's fared or not.
That, to me, is the tell that they're waiting for another shoe to drop.
Yeah, that there's another plan.
Like, the idea that you wouldn't have someone compete at that position, period, mm-hmm. is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, again, Nick Folk is competing against this dude, right? Good kickers have Justin Tucker every year just to take workload away. He's not even asked to compete. You know, he's winning the job, but they always have a kicker in camp. In Baltimore, having one is crazy, but it also tells you this is not over. And then when they cut Ahmed and you miss another two kicks, they didn't immediately bring another scrap heap dude in here. I think they just got together and said, all right, we'll figure this out in a couple of weeks when the real kickers get cut. And at that point, of the best 10 available, probably 9 will have been at training camps or something anyway. And those are the guys they'll be picking through, including, you know, in this case, Braden Narveson. Looks like Iowa State, Western Kentucky, NC State. Here's a sign of the times with the old college portal. He kicked for 3 different schools.
Wow.
Over the last few years. Just a hired gun moving around, perhaps. But 38 of 38 on extra points this past year. He's actually made all 196 extra points in his career. Obviously, the college extra point, the pro extra point, different distances. But he was 18 of 23 on field goals last season. Let's go to Jeff in Kensington on G&D. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, I appreciate you. We're getting
a handful of first-time callers today, keeping Jim Zorn busy.
Yeah, I think something to air. I mean,
Jim, too late.
Yeah, Jim is like we're giving him the prompts. We're right. Like, Jim.
First-time callers can be nervous, Jim.
Open.
You can't just interrupt them because you're asleep at the wheel.
God, Jim, what are you doing over there?
Yeah. You know what he's doing.
You never know what he's doing back
he's
there.
Jim Zorn.
He's
man.
Zorning.
You can't. This is out of control.
I'm not a first-time host, Jim.
Jeff and Kensington.
Jeff, sorry, buddy. Please.
No worries, fellas. Like, there's 2 points I want to make here. Last year with the long snapper situation, nothing was done. It was very annoying to see that happen and play out, and no change was made. What I do like what's going on right now is that changes are being made. I honestly don't care if we get a kicker in every week, and if they're not producing, we get them out of here. I'm happy with the regime, you know, taking responsibility of the situation. And if we lose games because our kicker isn't doing well and we're constantly getting a new kicker in there, honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm okay with it because we're trying to solve the problem. This administration is doing the right things right now, and I love it.
Jim,
that'll be enough from you.
That's
Jim.
Overkill now.
Third time's the charm, I guess, Jim.
Actually, I love the point.
I don't mind that call, although you can't kick. There's certain jobs you can't do looking over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think running out onto the field, knowing every miss could be, oh, well, they're just going through kickers every week until they find the perfect guy. It's an imperfect job. It's kind of like we're going to call up baseball players until someone goes 10 for their first 15 or
right.
something.
Oh, you struck out. Like, cut him.
The really good ones bat 300. The really good kickers are kicking at a 90% clip or whatever.
Yeah, but I love his point in general, though. There's a balance in sports and anything else where you go, we need to allow for some growth opportunity. We need to be patient with this player versus, oh, my God, what are you waiting for? And he brought up the long snapper situation. I'd forgotten about that. We shouldn't. They're just a disaster. This was a disaster in training camp. It was a disaster in preseason. It was a disaster through multiple games until finally something happened, right? That's an obstinance because we know better. We're smarter. We figured it out, or we don't see the need or whatever. His point, again, you have to kind of walk this tightrope, but you, at least you understand that there's a problem. You're not doing that meme where you're going, this is fine, sipping tea as the whole room burns down.
Jaden Daniels, probably not going to play this weekend. Next time we see him will be against the Bucks in week one. How we feeling? Grant and Danny on the Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is the Fan. 800-636-1067 is how you join us if you want to hop in. We're discussing right now the Commanders kicker issue, although it was a great day at practice for Riley Patterson, 6 of 7, made a kick from 58. If he has a big final game in a nice couple of weeks leading up to cutdown day, could he still save his job, or would you go outside the organization? That is the question that we're asking on G&D. Let's go to Zach in Gainesville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan.
Thanks, man.
Hey, have you guys heard anything about Braden Narveson, the kicker is battling Nick Folk in Tennessee?
I don't know a lot about him.
I hadn't heard much.
We looked him up. NC State is where he went, 24 years old.
Yeah, I think he has like the longest kick in NC State history, but he just nailed a 59-yarder in the second preseason game. Walk-off 47-yard field goal as well. But, you know, he's an undrafted free agent rookie, so there's no vets available. I think Adam Peters might be waiting. Just ride with a rookie like that, you know. Hope you get like half a Justin Tucker or something.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking. I think too much of this regime to think that they're just sitting on their hands on this one. You know what I mean? I feel like there's something that they're waiting on that they know. They've got their scouts or they've got everybody, and there's a list of 5, 6, 7 guys that are going to get cut that they'll have their pick from. I just can't believe the reason that gives me that confidence, GP, A, I think they're pretty competent, but B, because they're not doing a constant kicker tryout thing. Like, Patterson hasn't faced any kicker competition since they cut Ahmed. Like, that's unfathomable to me, regardless of how he's fared or not.
That, to me, is the tell that they're waiting for another shoe to drop.
Yeah, that there's another plan.
Like, the idea that you wouldn't have someone compete at that position, period, mm-hmm. is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, again, Nick Folk is competing against this dude, right? Good kickers have Justin Tucker every year just to take workload away. Is not even asked to compete. You know he's winning the job, but they always have a kicker in camp in Baltimore. Having one is crazy,
mm-hmm.
but it also tells you this is not over. And then when they cut Ahmed and you miss another two kicks, they didn't immediately bring another scrap heap dude in here. I think they just got together and said, all right, we'll figure this out in a couple of weeks when the real kickers get cut. And at that point, of the best 10 available, probably 9 will have been at training camps or something anyway. And those are the guys they'll be picking through, including, you know, in this case, Braden Narveson. Looks like Iowa State, Western Kentucky, NC State. Here's a sign of the times with the old college portal. He kicked for 3 different schools.
Wow.
Over the last few years. Just a hired gun moving around, perhaps. But 38 of 38 on extra points this past year. He's actually made all 196 extra points in his career. Obviously, the college extra point, the pro extra point, different distances. But he was 18 of 23 on field goals last season. Let's go to Jeff in Kensington on G&D. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well,
we're getting
appreciate
a handful
you.
Of first-time callers today, keeping Jim Zorn busy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think something in the air. I mean,
Jim, too late.
Yeah, Jim is like we're giving him the prompts. We're right. Jim.
First time callers
the
can be nervous,
open.
Jim. You can't just interrupt them because you're asleep at the wheel.
God, Jim, what are you doing over there?
Yeah. You know what he's doing.
You never know what he's doing back
he's
there.
He's Jim Zorn.
He's
man.
Zorning.
You can't. This is out of control.
I'm not a first-time host, Jim.
Jeff and Kensington.
Jeff, sorry, buddy. Please.
No worries, fellas. Like, there's 2 points I want to make here. Last year with the long snapper situation, nothing was done. It was very annoying to see that happen and play out, and no change was made. What I do like what's going on right now is that changes are being made. I honestly don't care if we get a kicker in every week, and if they're not producing, we get them out of here. I'm happy with the regime, you know, taking responsibility of the situation. And if we lose games because our kicker isn't doing well and we're constantly getting a new kicker in there, honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm okay with it because we're trying to solve the problem. This administration is doing the right things right now, and I love it.
Jim,
that'll be enough from you.
That's
Jim.
Overkill now.
Third time's the charm, I guess, Jim.
Actually, I love the point.
I don't mind that call, although you can't kick. There's certain jobs you can't do looking over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think running out onto the field, knowing every miss could be, oh, well, they're just going through kickers every week until they find the perfect guy. It's an imperfect job. It's kind of like we're going to call up baseball players until someone goes 10 for their first 15 or
right.
something.
Oh, you struck out. Like cut him.
The really good ones bat 300. The really good kickers are kicking at a 90% clip or whatever.
Yeah, but I love his point in general, though. There's a balance in sports and anything else where you go, we need to allow for some growth opportunity. We need to be patient with this player. Versus, oh my God, what are you waiting for? And he brought up the long snapper situation. I'd forgotten about that. We shouldn't. They're just a disaster. This was a disaster in training camp. It was a disaster in preseason. It was a disaster through multiple games until finally something happened, right? That's an obstinance because we know better. We're smarter. We figured it out, or we don't see the need or whatever. His point, again, you have to kind of walk this tightrope, but at least you understand that there's a problem. You're not doing that meme where you're going, this is fine, sipping tea as the whole room burns down.
Jaden Daniels, probably not going to play this weekend. Next time we see him, we'll be against the Bucks in week one. How are we feeling? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.